This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Still getting used to the TV stream and the TV cameras in here. Folks are hitting me up saying my hand gestures, talking with my hands, looks like that I am like signing for people.
Oh, okay.
To help them understand what I'm saying. I don't know sign language. But if you would like to pick fun at me, do so on Twitter at Josh Graham Radio and WRELSportsFan.com. You can watch the aforementioned video stream. Steve Logan's going to join us in 15 minutes. Former NFL quarterbacks coach. He was once Matt Ryan's quarterbacks coach and offensive coordinator, I believe, at Boston College. Most commonly known, though, as an East Carolina coaching legend. He'll be here in 15 minutes. We'll ask him about Baker Mayfield and Aaron Rodgers and many other things, and that should be a lot of fun. But right now, it's time to get hit in the face with some sound. We run into together the wall of sound.
The wall of sound is a function of this studio. There's no doubt about it.
And we get started with, yes, quarterbacks, specifically North Carolina's new starter. Oh, wait, I did it again. Carolina's first quarterback to run out on the field Saturday night, as Mac Brown would like to put it, Drake May.
The quarterback who will be on the field when the game starts for the offense.
That guy.
Yeah. Not the starter, though.
That's him.
Just the guy who's going to be on the field when they start.
I get why Mac says it that way. You're worried you might lose Jacoby Criswell. Steve Logan didn't have to deal so much with the transfer portal, but we'll ask him about that sentiment shortly. But this was Mac on how Drake May has progressed at practice since being named the not starter, but the guy who runs out on the field first with the offense.
Yesterday was good. I thought he was great today. And give Jacoby credit. He's been great both days. He's gone back to work. He's competed. He understands that he's a snap away from being the guy and being out there. And he's responded to that really well. You never know how people are going to respond to adversity.
I understand why Drake May would be the more appealing option to start at quarterback. At the start of camp, honestly, Dennis, I thought Jacoby would have been the better option. Or Jacoby, excuse me. He was steadier. You had pretty good weapons. You just needed a quarterback who wasn't going to mess it up. Who was going to be steadier, lead you down the field, don't turn over the football, put it in the right place. He had been here a year longer than Drake. He has 10 starts to his name already, including, or 10 appearances, excuse me. He started last year the Wofford finale that Sam Howell wasn't able to play in. So I thought he was the better option at the start of camp. But during camp, North Carolina lost British Brooks for the season. Antoine Green was the second leading wide receiver going into the year to Josh Downs. Not a lot of depth at that position. So when you lose him for the first month at least, you might need your quarterback to be more of a playmaker. And Drake, as I understand it, is more of a dual threat guy, more of a higher upside. He was an Alabama commit. Top 55 recruit, according to 24/7. Criswell was in the mid-200s when he came out of high school. If it's close, go with the younger guy. And Drake May's younger than Criswell is. So I think they made the right choice. Mac made the right choice going with Drake May to start things off on Saturday night. And selfishly, from the media perspective, from the storytelling perspective, it's a bleeping Tar Heel fairy tale that this guy is going to be playing quarterback at the same school as his brother and at the same school as his dad. That's a really cool deal that we'll get to follow when the Tar Heels play Florida A&M. Next up, Christian McCaffrey protecting Ben McAdoo's offensive secrets like it's the nuclear codes. Let's listen in.
putting the ball in the end zone is obviously the goal, and moving the ball north, getting first downs. He has so much knowledge in so many different areas, and I think being able to learn not just what your job is, but why your job is what it is ultimately equally as important. And I think just being able to play fast, it's a scheme that's meant to work, and so it's up to us to execute. So I don't know, that was a long answer. I didn't give you any information, but yeah, I'm excited about it.
Man, I can't find my pen in here. I was looking to write down all the cliches that McCaffrey had in that clip.
You misplaced your bingo card?
Yeah, it was performance art from McCaffrey. You know, hey, every offense is built to work.
Our job is to score.
You know, we just want to score touchdowns.
Move north.
That's what we're trying to do here.
Get first downs.
Like, that might have been the Olympic medal holder, gold medal Olympic winner for most useless sound. Might be. And he had the dismount at the end. Ta-da! I said a lot of words without actually saying anything at all.
I love how we acknowledged it, though.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's like, well, that's pretty much what every soundbite we get generally is.
What is a realistic expectation for the Panthers offense?
Realistic?
Because last year they were 29th. Granted, Joe Brady didn't coordinate the final month of the season. He was
29th
fired.
In terms of what?
Scoring offense.
Scoring
offense. And you also had McCaffrey, who was hurt all of last year pretty much, just like he missed 13 games in 2020 as well. They were 24th in scoring offense in 2020. I think with elevated quarterback play and a lot of investment in the O-line, you bring in Austin Corbett from the defending champion Rams, you bring in Ikem Ekwonu, a top 10 pick at left tackle, you hope to get more out of McCaffrey. It's hard to imagine you get less. Fair to expect a top 20 offense? Top 20? I think that's what you get.
Yeah.
And that's what the Panthers need. Like, they are not asking Baker Mayfield to put the team on their back dough. They're asking Baker, kind of like what we were talking about with Carolina, just don't mess it up. Don't mess it up. That's what they need from the offense. That's what they need from their quarterback. Speaking of Baker Mayfield, he's not the only new Carolina Panther that came to Charlotte by way of Cleveland. Rashard Higgins is wearing the number 17, had that touchdown catch in the preseason game that Darnold threw. You remember when he got crushed? Icky got beat on that play and he had that beautiful touch pass. Rashard Higgins caught that. He seems like a good ad, and he helped us out a little bit in trying to get to know Baker Mayfield better.
We don't know about Baker Mayfield. The people out there don't know about him.
Baker's really good at Call of Duty, and I hate to say that right now, but you know what? He gave me a hard time, but although we'd be on the game, and he's pretty good at Call of Duty, bro.
Not as good as you, though.
Nah, he ain't good as me.
Yeah. You've had some time to think about this. For me, it's NHL 09.
Yeah.
Get me on the sticks. I'm going to take you out. No mercy.
Okay.
No quarter. You, what video game would that be for you? Hey, I'm going to fire this thing up.
Oh, man.
And when that happens, you don't have much of a shot to do anything.
Let's see. Going back to the old N64.
Oh.
WCW versus NWO World Tour.
I got an N64 in my trunk right now.
Let's plug it in.
See, I remember I was doing a radio show. See, I'm on in the Triad afternoons for WSJS. What's up, Trey Foe? And I was talking about my wedding leading up to it in June, and someone asked me, hey, what do you want to do on your wedding day? Most people go out and shoot guns or play golf.
It was like a bachelor thing?
Yeah. No. Like on your wedding day.
Oh, on your actual wedding day.
And people shoot guns, people play golf. Not really my cup of tea in either regard. So I just said, you know, I want to be nostalgic. I haven't had a game console in a while. As a kid, I used to play N64. So that's what I would like to do. I'd play GoldenEye. I want to play Super Smash Bros.
There you go.
So then the next day, random stranger just comes by the studio and drops off an N64 with games.
Nice.
So I've asked this guy, hey, do you want your N64 back? Hadn't heard from him. So I just got an N64 now. And on my wedding day, crushing people in GoldenEye.
What games you got?
Super Smash Bros.
Okay.
Mario Kart, okay. Naturally. I don't think we have Mario Party. We got the wrestling game from way back when, WCW.
There's a few of them.
I forget which one specifically it was. MVP Baseball.
All right.
That's in there. It's a nice little crop.
Are you trying to offload those games?
I got to figure out whether or not this dude wants them back yet.
I mean, clearly not.
I'll see. When the statute of limitations passes, we'll figure that out. But picture me on my wedding day, firing it up. Knives only, GoldenEye.
Nice.
That's what we're doing. And all my groomsmen allowed for me to be Yoshi. Because when I play Mario Kart or Super Smash, I'm Yoshi, no questions asked.
I respect that.
Pretty good. Our next guest got me into the blues. Probably a lot of people into the blues. Steve Logan, ECU coaching legend. I would say also a legend of NFL Europe circles, NFL vet as well on coaching staffs, some college too, was helping Matt Ryan out once upon a time back at BC. What type of music have you been listening to lately, Coach? What have you been drinking on as well?
Well, I'm still stuck in the blues. It's a what I hear, ZZ Top one time, I went to watch them at in Durham. And Billy Gibbons, to start the show, he walked up and he said, same three chords, same three guys. And off the show went. So that's as far as I ever got, three chords.
When's the last time you went to a show?
It's been a while, you know, since all the COVID insanity started. I refused to participate, and I just moved down here to the beach and pretended like nothing ever happened. So there's that.
Steve Logan joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. I wanted to talk to you about a couple of quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield is now the newest Carolina Panther. He seems like the type of guy that you would have loved the coach back in college. Maybe I'm wrong on that. What are your thoughts on Baker?
Well, he plays with a chip on his shoulder, which is, that's a good thing. And it's a good thing, particularly for a quarterback, to be able to have a combative type personality, because you're going to take a lot of slings and arrows. I used to point out to the young men that I worked with that, we might have let's say we have 67, 68 snaps in a football game offensively. And things are rocking along and you're playing a good football game and you throw one interception. And, so suddenly, just the one negative play can impact an entire football game and a season. And so you look back and you say, well, for 66 snaps, I was doing my job. I did it well. And then all of a sudden you have a catastrophic interception and it can turn everything around. You got to be tough and you got to be thick skinned to play the position of quarterback. And I think Baker's got a lot of that in him. He's a very interesting story, and he went through a rough time professionally in Cleveland with 19 different offensive coordinators and whatever he went through up there. That's never a healthy start, and I've seen that dynamic destroy some potentially good quarterbacks' careers in the NFL.
That's the part I can't really get past. It's the part that it just doesn't compute with me when people are dogging Baker or talking about his days in Cleveland as if he didn't do enough. I remember the day that Baker became officially a Panther, I asked him, when you got there, the Browns won one game in their previous 2 years combined. 2 years ago, not only did you go to the playoffs, you went into Pittsburgh and won by a lot. How surprised were you that that happened to you? And he said, shocked is an understatement. And I can't imagine. Like, I don't think that can be emphasized enough. And I wonder if you feel the same way, how this dude was discarded the way that he was after taking that team to the playoffs just a few years ago.
Well, that's just NFL football. I mean, I spent 10 years, you know, fiddling around in pro football, and the expectations are so high with every player, every unit, every coach, every team. And the reality and the expectations rarely meet. And the owners and general managers, it starts with the owners. They put so much pressure downward on the general managers that the general managers are making hair trigger decisions concerning talent, coaches, scheme, all those things we're talking about that affect the quarterback. And like I say, I think Baker had three different offensive coordinators.
That's right.
In his first 3 years at Cleveland. And, you know, I worked personally with a young man who I'm convinced had his career destroyed, and that was Blaine Gabbert. And I was Blaine's seventh quarterback coach at San Francisco. And Blaine is an enormously talented, brilliant, bright, high intellect guy. And I had a great time working with him and had success with Blaine. And I coached Blaine the second half of the season, and he really elevated our football team during the time he played for us. I think he started 8 games for me and won 4 of them. And, we were all fired the next year and blah, blah, blah. You know, the beat goes on. But I just know in debriefing Blaine, 7 for 7. So you got 7 different languages, 7 different approaches to play in the position, 7 different play callers, and nobody can survive that. I mean, you're not going to find a successful quarterback in the NFL that's got that on their resume, because it destroys confidence and it just erodes, no matter how much ability you've got, it erodes the ability to play the game with confidence without fear of being pulled or you know, all the other things that go, the negativity that can go with, you know, always being blamed when in fact you're a victim in a lot of it.
Steve Logan with us here on the Adam Gold Show. My name's Josh Graham filling in for AG, and you talking about how it's a different language when you get a new quarterback coach or a new offensive coordinator had me thinking about the preseason game we have tonight, where Green Bay is playing Kansas City. In some minds, for both teams, they might be Super Bowl contenders, but Green Bay is losing Nathaniel Hackett. They lost Nathaniel Hackett, who's now the head coach in Denver for Russell Wilson. And Davante Adams is no longer in Green Bay. He's now in Vegas. And in Kansas City, they're trying to replace a unique player, not a rare player, a unique player in Tyreek Hill. Who do you have more concerns about going into this year? Aaron Rodgers, Packers, or Patrick Mahomes as Chiefs?
Well, in both those situations, you've got a quarterback that's entrenched, and I promise you, it doesn't matter who Aaron Rodgers' offensive coordinator is at this point. Nobody's going to walk in the room and present a new language to Aaron Rodgers. They're going to use the language that he's been familiar with his entire career. And that's the way that works in the NFL. It's who's got the leverage. So, those are the kinds of things that are going on. And Andy Reid, he's not going to change the language. You know, everything's stable around Patrick Mahomes. So, there's not going to be too many hiccups in that arena.
Last thing for you. So, Mack Brown was trying to do some verbal gymnastics earlier in the week when naming a quarterback. You got two guys because of COVID that arrived a year apart but have the same number of years of eligibility remaining, and Jacoby Criswell and Drake May. Drake May named the starter, but Mack is saying he wouldn't use the word starter. He's the guy who's going to run out there first and play quarterback, and then he's doing the song and dance of, you know, Dre Bly, we sat him out for a year, and Julius Peppers, we sat him out. And I'm listening to it, and I'm thinking, it sounds like Mack Brown's trying to talk directly through the TV lens to Jacoby Criswell to convince him to stick around because you want depth at quarterback and you don't want to lose guys out due to the transfer portal. But the problem I find is unlike Dre Bly or Julius Peppers or whomever that he's talking about, or a wide receiver like Josh Downs, you can only have one quarterback on the field at one time. And as long as Drake May is playing, Jacoby Criswell isn't. So if you're Mac Brown, what are you doing to try and keep that quarterback depth or keep Criswell engaged enough that he's not looking somewhere else?
Well, that's a whole new, you know, I thank God I'm not coaching in college football with the landscape that's been created with NIL and transfer portals and all that other monkey business. But and I'm not against, believe me, the players should have been getting paid a long time ago. But that's a whole nother story. But the transfer portal is a whole different deal. But, you know, when you're, you know, the old adage is true. When you're not quite sure who the starter is, it's indicative you probably don't have one. And, you know, throughout camp, neither one of those young men moved the team the way you would hope the team would move. And, you know, I'll tell you, and this is a Loganism, I was asked once upon a time, and well, I've been asked many, many times, you know, how do you evaluate a quarterback? Well, my simple answer was and always will be this: do the plays work? That's it. Okay. I don't care if it's Bugs Bunny at quarterback. If the plays work, that's my starter. If I've got a kid in there that runs 4.4 and throws bullets and all this other attributes that scouts like to harp upon, but the plays don't work, that's not my starter. Mm. And, you know, it's just that simple. So in camp, what you want to see is the plays work and the team move and go across the goal line. That's your starter. And if that's not happening with either young man, definitively, neither one of those guys right now, neither one of those guys is really who you're looking for. They may develop into that through the season, but it sounds like they haven't had a definitive answer in camp.
Bugs Bunny, 3-star kid, Rivals, I think the last I saw. Steve Logan, on the way out, what do you expect is going to be a bigger zoo next weekend? Greenville America with NC State coming to town, or Boom with Carolina coming in for the first time ever?
That's going to be a toss-up, and it'll be a lot of fun for both those communities. And I really, you know, that's the way it should be. I mean, the big boys can get on a bus and travel just like the other guys can every now and then, and I think that's healthy, and I think it'll be a couple of good football games. I really do, and I think it's healthy for everybody to do some of that.
It's good to hear your voice, Steve. Thanks so much for doing this, and enjoy the beach.
I'm going to do that, and I appreciate you calling.
No doubt. That's Steve Logan, the legend, joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. Yeah, that is going to be a zoo next weekend. I know Dennis and Chris Lee are going to be down in Greenville, America for NC State and ECU, my alma mater. I'm going to be in Boone for North Carolina and Appalachian State. Where are we headed today for our NFL city tour?
Orchard Park, New York.
Oh, I hear Orchard Park's lovely this time of year. That's next. If you don't think trash talk happens in radio, you're wrong. This is the Adam Gold Show. Mm-hmm. I'm Josh Graham filling in for him. And I remember the first time AG asked me to fill in a few months ago, I had somebody else host the show that I do after this one. Normally I do afternoons for WSJS out in the Triad. And Adam and a handful of other hosts here in the Triangle told me, you're a big old wuss. You're a softy. You're soft.
Yeah.
Rub some radio dirt on it and do 6 hours of radio. Do your own show, too. So that's what I'm going to try to do today and tomorrow. Rub some dirt on it.
Yeah, here's the thing. They haven't done that themselves.
They haven't?
I doubt it.
So you're telling me that this was a trap and that
pretty much
a few hours from now, I'm just going to be about to pass out. Just running on fumes.
Basically.
Find out tomorrow on the Adam Gold Show.
You're going to need a nap this weekend is what you're going to get.
No, well, no. Week zero. Psyched for Nebraska Northwestern. Let's kick it off in Ireland at 12:30.
I'm curious for that game, I'm curious just for the spectacle of it.
Yeah.
Of it being played in Ireland.
Oh, and tomorrow.
Otherwise, yeah.
And tomorrow, you got Panthers-Bills, 7 o'clock. And wouldn't you know it, today's NFL city, we are visiting not Buffalo, but the city that the Bills play in, Orchard Park, New York.
That's right, Orchard Park, New York. Now, to give people a little bit of a visual of Orchard Park and where it's located. So Buffalo's very western part of New York, right there next to Niagara. And Orchard Park is essentially what Cary is to Buffalo is what Garner or Cary is to Raleigh.
Yeah.
It's just a bordering town right there on the southern side. So that's kind of
like
give
Clemens to Winston-Salem, Winterville to Greenville.
Yeah, it's not like it's Dallas where you got to drive all the way to Arlington, which is, you know, not long, but it's outside the city. But the town of Orchard Park borders Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will say this is New York's team because it's the only team that actually plays in New York.
It's true.
All right.
Giants and Jets play in MetLife in Jersey.
Yes, we've actually visited East Rutherford, New Jersey twice already.
Lovely place.
I'm sure, yes. Well, we've told you everything about it.
Along with Newark. People
now,
say I say that weird.
Newark?
Yeah, Newark.
Okay.
Is that how you say it?
Sure.
Thanks.
Ask Joe Giglio.
Does he know Newark?
Well, he's from northern New Jersey. He would know.
All right. I'll ask Giglio in a bit. He'll be with us in the roundtable tomorrow. Maybe we'll get to that then.
So, again, because Orchard Park's not a very big place, there's not entirely a whole lot to do in Orchard Park, New York. Now, if you do want to get outdoors, they have the Birdsong Park Nature Trail.
Sounds great.
To, especially this time of year. I'm sure it's wonderful. Probably humid because, you know, you got the lakes and all that right there. Also, the Eternal Flame Falls.
Oh, wow.
It's a little waterfall called Eternal Flames.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. If I'm in Buffalo or in Orchard Park in this case,
yeah.
I'm indoors and I'm visiting every wing joint there is.
Well, okay, we're going to get into that in a minute.
Oh, are we?
Oh, yeah, trust me. There are wings. There are wings to be had. But I'm sure you might enjoy a little golf every once in a while.
Yeah.
Harvest Hill Golf Course. You know, when it's not snowing.
Get some swings in?
Yeah. Actually, I don't know. Play with an orange ball. Play in the snow. I don't care.
I hear it's lovely this time of year. I'm actually sure it's lovely this time of year.
Probably actually does get pretty humid up there.
Yeah, but
fall might be kind of nice.
Yeah. Yeah, when is the sweet spot to visit Orchard Park since you're coming our way here courtesy of the Orchard Park Chamber of Commerce?
Oh, okay. Well, they'll say year round. Year round.
Oh, December. January, when the Bills aren't playing. Oh, wait, they're going to be playing there this time of year.
By the way, there are some staple things that you need to do while you're in Western New York as a whole, but especially Orchard Park, New York. Not only do you have to go, you have to eat wings.
Sure.
Okay. Duff's Famous Wings of Orchard Park is the place to go to. But you also just got to jump off the top of an RV through a table. You just have to do it. It's a rite of passage to be in Orchard Park,
while
New York.
You're on fire.
Yeah. And the table's on fire. The whole deal.
Has to.
While you're eating a wing.
If you didn't do that, did you actually visit Orchard Park?
Yeah.
Who's
did you
to say?
Really experience Orchard Park?
But this reminds me of the greatest non-football gripe that Dave Clawson's ever had at Wake Forest.
Okay.
He is from Western New York.
All right.
And he gets really upset when people refer to every type of wing as buffalo wings.
Okay.
He hates that. There's only one type of buffalo wing, and that's Frank's Red Hot. That's the sauce. That's a buffalo wing. Change the nomenclature for casual, hey, I'm buying some wings at whatever restaurant,
yeah,
to hot wings. That's what you should call them, according to Dave Clawson. Hot wings, not buffalo wings. He gets pretty mad when people just refer to wings that are hot as buffalo wings if the sauce is not Frank's Hot.
Okay.
And I think I agree with him.
All right. I never actually knew buffalo wings were like just a specific type of, like, they had to be Frank's Hot.
See, because they're from Buffalo. That's where they were created.
Yeah.
That genre, if you will. And Frank's Red Hot was the sauce that they used on those wings.
All right.
So if you want a real Buffalo wing, it has to have Frank's Red Hot, according to Dave Clawson. If you're eating another type of wing that has hot sauce, that it doesn't have Frank's Red Hot, then it's not a Buffalo wing. It's a hot wing. I think that's a fair compromise.
Okay.
We're just being better. It's like, I think our society is evolving, Dennis, the way that we refer to things. Like, we can look at that photo of Lynn Dawson, who passed away yesterday, 50 years ago, 55 years ago, playing in Super Bowl I and smoking a heater at halftime in full uniform, and say, yeah, we've evolved from the time where we thought cigarettes just cooled down your mouth and lungs. That's what was happening.
Yeah.
Nothing medically bad about this at all.
Not at all. We've
evolved, right? In this case, I think we've evolved as a society where we lazily, loosely refer to every hot wing as a buffalo wing. We're just going to call them hot wings now.
I do know there's buffalo sauce.
Yeah.
And people will use buffalo sauce, but it has to include Frank's Red.
That's right.
Okay.
All right. Sorry.
I see where Coach Clawson
is. I've hijacked things a bit.
No. This is the whole part of it.
That's it.
Part of
We're visiting Orchard Park.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell people what to do. Like, you want to come to the Triangle area of North Carolina and say, oh, I love Raleigh-Durham. No, we're trying to help you out ahead of time.
Like the airport.
Yeah, we're trying to help. You wouldn't want to visit Boone and be like, where's Appalachian State? Oh, I love Eastern Carolina. No, we're just trying to help you out. We're trying to help you out. By the way, a guy I know who loves Eastern Carolina, Ruffin McNeil, going to be a guest on tomorrow's show. And speaking of weight coaches, Steve Forbes on tomorrow's show too. Whoa!
Oh, all over the place.
Yeah.
All over the place. Loaded show.
What else we got?
Top food places to go to.
Duff's.
So you can get, obviously, get wings, they mentioned at Duff's. But another place you got to go to is called Off the Wall Sandwich Company. Off the Wall Sandwich Company is the go-to eatery out there in Orchard Park, New York.
Get myself a club
sandwich. You can get some wings while you're out there a little bit as well. But they got a little bit of everything. They've got, obviously, wings. Got to have wings. But I'm curious. They actually do have a sandwich called, or a burger called, the Bill's Mafia. You want to know what's in this?
What's in the Bill's Mafia?
Ground steak blend patty, sharp cheddar, thick cut bacon, blue cheese or crumbly blue, buffalo chicken wing dip, chicken fingers tossed in buffalo sauce.
Wow. See, I love buffalo sauce. I love hot stuff. If somebody here, let's say in Raleigh, in the Triangle, or anywhere else in the state is welcome to do this, wants to create a Dennis Cox types of pizza or type of food, let's say in this case, like a burger, like the Bill's Mafia, what's on that burger?
Oh, see, I get simple when it comes to food sometimes.
But it's going to be named after you. Like, this is the Dennis Cox.
Yeah, but I want to be something that I know what I would eat.
I had a pizza named after me in Clemens at a place called Pie Guys Pizza. I'll give them a shout. It's called the Graham Slam.
All right.
Has buffalo sauce on it and some chicken and bacon pieces on top.
Okay.
The Graham Slam.
Hmm. So if I were to do like a place that's like that, for example, like a Mod Pizza or something where you can kind of customize it.
Yeah, this is the Fan Rookie Burger. What are we putting on the Fan Rookie Burger? That's also Dennis's Twitter handle.
I'm so simple when it comes to, for me, like a cheeseburger, it's got to have cheese, obviously. But we'll go two patties.
Okay.
Two patties, cheddar cheese. I don't know, just bacon.
Not original
ketchup
enough.
Mustard. I know. That's the thing. I don't throw a lot of stuff.
I was trying to help you out. Like, I know there's some restaurant owners who are listening
maybe
to this
that's
saying,
it.
Help us. We will come up with something. Doing the marketing team a favor, too, trying to figure something out. Maybe AG could think of something. He seems like he has weird
actually, you know
food
what I,
taste.
I'll do a sandwich one for you. How about this?
All right. Fire off.
Smoked paprika chicken.
Yeah.
With cheddar cheese. It's the via panini. Smoked paprika chicken. Cheddar cheese spinach.
Is this a melt?
It's a panini.
Love it.
Yeah.
That
it's
is
delicious. On a
the Dennis Cox sandwich.
Ciabatta. All right. So, yeah, talking of food. Speaking of food, I've been giving donut places out for all of our locations. There is no true donut location in Orchard Park, New York.
I'm not a big donut guy.
Well, that's on you.
Yeah.
Now, there's some places apparently in West Seneca or up in Buffalo. We can't go there because it's not in Orchard Park. So the only place you can go to get donuts, really, Tim Hortons.
Hey, we don't have those down here.
No, so we don't.
Get yourself a Tim Hortons. Start talking some Canes hockey with some Northerners.
Yeah, so yeah, Tim Hortons is your spot.
You
to
remember
go to.
The 06 Eastern Conference Finals? Ryan Miller, we got your jockstrap.
How many times is Jeff Kane Skinner Bruin. Taking you to the playoffs? Oh, did I say that out loud?
Oh, how many cups did I'm trying to name obscure Brian Campbell win for you, Sabres? That jersey design they had circa 2006 was hideous.
Yeah, it was pretty awful.
The red and black with the – it was bad.
Yeah, how's Miroslav Tan doing?
Is that all we got for Orchard Park?
By the way, tomorrow we are going to the 49ers.
Hey!
So Santa Clara, California, not
That's
San
right.
Francisco. Santa
right.
Clara.
Where the Panthers – I remember when the Panthers played a Super Bowl there, everybody was so excited. Oh, I can't wait to hang out in San Francisco. Oh, no, you're going to be in Santa Clara.
There's a big difference. You're closer to San Jose. By the way, Monday, Gold will love this. Monday, we're going to go to Landover, Maryland, home of the Commanders.
Been to that stadium many a time.
That place stinks.
Hey, let's rewind things really quickly before we get out of here. Get out of here! I really was trying to think of the list. Most beloved Tar Heels of the last 22 years, since the turn of the century, how many guys do you name before you get to Luke May? And Allie tweeted the show saying, Theo, Joel Berry, Hansborough, Danny Green, Marcus Page, those are the five.
Okay. We're talking just specifically basketball?
I don't think there are any football players they put up with
Maybe
the basketball
Sam
players.
Howell.
Maybe. Maybe. But I think Luke May probably a little bit more beloved. So Luke May, beloved Tar Heel. It's a Tar Heel fairy tale. His brother is going to be starting not just on the football team, but quarterback. The same position his dad played at Carolina. So this was Luke May joining us earlier in the show talking about the family dynamic.
I think mom, because mom has to hear about it from my dad. So, my dad's usually pretty cool and pretty calm during the game. And, I mean, he obviously kind of sees things out there and wants Trey to do well. But, I mean, it's a game, and he knows Drake's doing his best. I mean, at the end of the day, like, he loves him and he supports him no matter what. But it'll definitely be exciting time, and I'm sure there'll be some things that Drake doesn't do well in my dad's eyes. But, I mean, at the end of the day, he's going to be working to help the Carolina football team win. And it's not only Drake out there. I mean, got a lot of guys out there that are trying to do the best they can. And, I mean, obviously playing college athletics at a high level, I know just from experience, I mean, even some games when you're not really the opponent, is it up to your level? I mean, it's very easy to kind of overlook them, and I think that's something that everybody's got to learn how to manage and handle, and I'm excited to see how Drake and those guys do first couple games of the season, because second week, I mean, App's a really, really good team, and I think it'll be a good test for us early in the year.
Appreciate the time from Luke May. At the beginning, he was talking about whether his mom would be more stressed or his dad, and he said, mom, that's always the right answer, but I don't know when it's your son not playing basketball, but playing the sport that you played at Carolina, the position that you played, and the position you coached him to play, which Mark May did for Drake May. It's just a really cool story all around that I look forward to watching. But we'll see on Saturday night how many times they're going to pan to the stands and you get the ACC Network crew talking about, there's mom and dad. Here was their reaction after the touchdown. Here was their reaction after the pick. Here was You know, here's some Luke May highlights.
Oh, that's my big thing. How many Luke May highlights are we going to get during the broadcast?
My Apple Watch just told me I need to stand up.
Okay, you can do that.
Might need to do that, even though I'm on TV here. I do want to pass along this note on the way out because it's really super cool. A few years ago, Chris Paul announced that he was going to donate a ton of money to Wake Forest to get them a new locker room. And next Thursday, the day that Wake Forest opens the season, so a week from now, he's going to be in town as he cuts the ribbon on that.
Oh, cool.
Later that night, though, this is pretty cool. Later in that day, I should say, they're announcing that West Forsyth High School, where he went to school, mm-hmm. is going to have the gym named in his honor.
That's cool.
Can't imagine a cooler day than that, right? You're going back to where your high school is at, which just so happens to be right where your college is at, and the college is naming a locker room for you, and now your high school gym's named after you. And you get to watch your alma mater play in football as they are a top 25 ranked team for just the second time ever.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to blow out VMI in one week. That's when you're talking about pretty cool day. Lord, I hope I have a day that's as cool as that one day. That is awesome.
Are we getting back to remember you got married earlier this year?
No, well, I got a text from her saying
I'm sure you did.
My entire family is sitting here at the beach watching you. Love you, babe. She, I don't know if she caught the part where I said this might be the most exciting day of the year for me. Second most exciting day.
Uh-huh.
Nah, I just love my people.
That's fair.
My, like I said, my dad was listening to the station when I visited with him this morning. He hadn't gotten out of bed. We learned he was a legend today.
Yeah. Yes, we
friends
did.
Friends with Macho Man Randy Goodness. Savage and Eddie Murray. And who was the other wrestler?
Paul Orndorff.
Yeah, Paul Orndorff. Yeah, that's it. What a day. And talking to my folks in Greenville, 94.3 The Game, where I was for a few years, and my folks in the Triad. That's why it's a special day, Cox. It's special.
Oh, yeah. I totally get why it's special.
Maybe not as special as Chris Paul, his day a week from now.
No.
Maybe not that special. But pretty special nonetheless. What, if you could ask one question, because we only have time for it, in regards, because we're rewinding the show today, about the revelation of my dad being close friends with Macho Man, which we didn't plan.
Yeah.
What would it be? Like, what most interests you about that?
I want to know just how did they meet? Like, what led to them just striking up a friendship?
Oh, so he worked at a airport that's now defunct, Piedmont Airlines.
And yeah.
Back then, like, if you worked at the airport, you get to see these people as they walk off, and you want to be friends with the folks who work at the airport because it could maybe drive you around places if you're in town, need to go places. And somehow my dad and Macho Man just hit it off. He also told me that he would run into Iron Sheik sometimes.
Yeah.
And... nah, he'd be reading, like, Iranian magazines and things of that nature. That's not a put-on at all.
Oh, I believe that.
Like, walking onto planes and stuff like that. And he'd meet Andre the Giant and the Hulkster.
I just want to know, like, who else, when he was hanging out with Savage, who else was he hanging out with?
Let me check my phone
real quick. To save this for tomorrow.
Nah, let me check my phone real quick just to
see. Okay,
Mr. Wonderful, who's that?
That's Paul Orndorff.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, him and Leapy Lanny Poffo and my dad. They would get together. Oh, what's this one here? He's sending me pictures of other wrestlers that I don't recognize.
We are going to dive into this tomorrow.
We might have a surprise visit.
Yeah.
On the show. See, that's the funny thing. Tomorrow, Ruffin McNeil, ahead of his first return to Greenville for a football game in 8 days, 8 or 9 days. And Steve Forbes, post-Euro trip, hanging out with us. From the Deeks, and all right, we got Gilio and Patrick Johnson in the round table. That's cool. Dennis Cox is most excited to talk to my dad.
Yeah.
He was like, hey, if you want me to call in sometime, just let me know. And I'm like, no, Dad. Who's going to want to hear from Scott Grant? Apparently the entire state of North Carolina.
This is the Adam Gold Show.